Your name?
Victoria Clark.
What brings you outside DC jail today?
Just want to get involved in protesting mass incarceration. I have personal experience, family members who've been locked up, and I just want to give a voice to them and, you know, get other people involved.
You spoke a little while ago at this protest outside DC jail and mentioned that your father, grandfather, uncle, grandmother have all been locked up.
Yeah. And my dad did 22 years. My grandfather did 25. One of my uncles did 10. Another one of my uncles did 7. My grandmother's been in and out of jail basically her whole life, but for doing drugs, not for any type of violent offense. But all in all, the total number of time spent behind bars in my family is well over 100 years.
You also mentioned that it's not just the individual who gets locked up, but family members, when their loved ones go to jail, they end up doing time on the outside as well.
Yeah, I just learned that term, time on the outside. You do, you know, for the first, 22 years of my life, a part of me was in prison, I guess, with my father. You know, same goes with my mom. You know, her dad was in jail for the first 23 years of her life. You don't really see what you're missing until, like, I guess you're around people who have that. You know, I didn't understand that. I didn't really see the void or that was missing from my father not being there until I started hanging around people who have fathers. And you do time on the outside. You do.
How does it, when you finally realize being around people who have had the father, what's the difference that you see?
Well, for me, I actually, I adjusted really well. But other people that I grew up around who didn't have fathers didn't adjust well. And some people, who don't have fathers can't handle it. Can't handle it. And they can't handle not having that direction that, good fathers give you. You know, they can't handle that. And then they end up, falling into the same cycles of dealing drugs, those same cycles of, poverty, drugs, crime, things like that. It definitely pays to have, two parents at home. It does.
Now, your grandmother, she continues to get locked up for a drug addiction.
Yeah.
What would be the best approach for someone like your grandmother? Is it helpful to continually get in and out of jail?
Well, so my grandmother, since she's so old, she's not so old, she's like 58. She's sort of lived her life like this since she was like a teenager. I think it's hard to, everybody that she is surrounded by does drugs, all of her friends, everybody. But ideally, I would like for her to get like an inpatient treatment and just go away from DC. I think that would help her a lot. But it's hard. You know, what do you do when you've been on drugs your whole life and then you get off? You haven't worked for years, like you've never worked. You know, there's a 20, 30 year gap. You know, how do you go then apply for a job? You know? But my concern now is I have friends who are like on drugs now and I see them going down the same path as my grandmother, and I think and they have been sort of criminalized for having this drug addiction. I think what will benefit them is going away and to an in treatment program and getting help. I think that would be very helpful.
You're a native Washingtonian?
Yeah, born and raised DC. I love DC, born and raised.
You mentioned you have friends who are struggling with drugs. Are they also your friends who have been arrested?
Yeah.
I recently read, or am reading, Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, and it really makes clear just how even when a sentence is completed, it's not really completed in the sense that upon release, the access to a job is limited, non-existent.
I have one friend who has been locked up, but she has... Thankfully, she graduated from college, so she has had access and have been able to get jobs. But But all the rest of my friends, mostly my male friends, have not been able to get jobs. Primarily because, I mean, yeah, they have that criminal record, but they also don't have education. They didn't graduate from even high school. And then they're forced to, and then a lot of them have kids now, and then, like, you just see, it sucks. You see this cycle repeating itself. Yeah, they can't get jobs. And it's not that they don't want to work. They just can't get hired. And then, I mean, so many of them now have kids, and they don't have stable homes. And so, yeah, it is like that. You can't get jobs, you can't get hired, and then the cycle just keeps repeating itself.
What needs to happen?
Wow, a lot needs to happen. I think, most importantly, I think that the whole criminal justice system is tainted is not the word. I think it needs to be dismantled. I think that we need to do away with for-profit prisons. I think when you make it so that a company or a corporation, you know, makes money off of locking people up, there is no incentive not to lock people up. So I think we need to do away with how we go about locking people up. And I think there also needs to be a focus on sort of, just because someone sort of commits a crime, we shouldn't rush to lock people up. I think that we should figure out ways to really help people. A lot of people just need, like, social services, you know? I think that gets lost in this whole tough on crime. Is that, like, at the end of the day, it's a people. Like, we all have, like, kind of similar needs, you know? Like, everybody just wants to, you know, have a house and be able to go to a good school, whether it be public or private, you know? And, yeah, so I think it's lost. The humanity in all of this is lost. Humanity does get lost when you're talking about millions and billions of dollars that can be made off locking people up. But in the end, it's like society is suffering the most, you know, I think. Because, you know, you lock people up and then you have the family members out here and then the family struggles, you know. And then as a result, a lot of people whose family members are locked up, they eventually will be locked up. And I think it drains, it puts a drain on society, I think. I mean, that's just what I think.
A lot of the folks who are locked up is for drug use. One of the speakers said that when you look at drug use amongst whites, blacks, it's the same, basically. But the rates that people are locked up, it's not at all the same.
No, not at all. I mean, that goes to show you, that it's like that racism does play a part in sort of who gets arrested and who gets sentenced. You know, most people who are doing time for drug offenses are black and brown. That is true. Yeah.
You recently graduated from Temple University?
Yeah, I graduated from Temple, majoring in history. Right now, I'm an investigator at the Public Defender Service. So, you know, helping our public defenders sort of build cases so that they can have a chance against these discovery laws in D.C. I don't know if you're familiar with discovery laws in D.C., but the prosecution doesn't have to turn over anything that they have. They don't have to tell the defense, you know, what witnesses they're calling until they call the witness at trial.
Is that right?
That's right. So my job as an investigator is to go out and find witnesses so that the defense can have a chance, can have a shot. A lot of people don't know that. It is not fair at all.
And you're looking at the possibility of further getting into the law and possibly going to law school?
Hopefully I get to go to law school. I got into the Northeastern University and the University of Washington. I'm a finalist for the public law scholarship at Northeastern. Hopefully I can get it. And then I can continue this and be a public defender somewhere in this country.
How do you see yourself using the law if you are to get the scholarship and get yourself into law school, how would you see yourself use the law going forward?
I was thinking about being a public defender. I want to do something with prisoners' rights. You know, we got to end this, you know, because I want to do something, just getting prisoners more rights. I definitely think that I want to spend a few years being a public defender and moving on to maybe work in women's prisons. I'm just so close to this issue. I didn't realize how close I was until you make it out of your situation. You know, because when you're still in your situation, it's, you know, it is what it is. But then when you make it out of your situation, you know, and you have a chance to sort of, you know, be outside and looking in, and you realize how crazy it is to grow up with almost, you know, every other family member in prison. Like, that's, you think that's normal, but it's not. It's not normal. I'm only realizing now that it's not normal for people to be locked up, you know? And that's the kind of environment I grew up with. What's normal to have people in jail, to have family members, to have friends in jail. So, and to meet people who, like, don't have anybody in, don't have any family members in jail, it's kind of crazy, but they're out there. So, yeah.
Victoria Clark, any final thoughts you care to share as we stand outside D.C. jail?
We got to say no to the new Jim Crow. I mean, that's why we're out here. We got to say no to this mass incarceration. We need to educate more people about, you know, how much money is being made from locking people in cages, you know. And, I think if more people knew that, more people knew what tough on crime was really about, you know, then I don't think that they would be so passionate about it if they knew what it was really about. So.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.